Welcome to Zichud Av Siman Memory Avram Goldhar and today Masechet Sukkah Daf Mem Gimel, the fourth parak Lulav V'Arava. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. The Gemara brought a brisa that taught, "B'yom vafil b'shabbos." The words on that day of the phrase "B'yom Rishon" on the first day teach that the mitzvah of luluv is performed even on Shabbos. The Gemara said that since the only relevant prohibition is tiltul ba'alma, the mere handling of the luluv, which is a derabbanan muktzah prohibition, why would a pasuk be needed to permit it? Since the brisa is permitted to handle the luluv. Rabbi answered that the pasuk is coming to permit the performance of makshiri luluv, the preliminaries of the mitzvah of the luluv, some of which violate Shabbos midrashas, such as cutting the luluv from the tree or binding it with the other meaning. This is in accordance with Rabbi Lazar, who holds luluv kol makshirav dochinas Shabbos. The mitzvah of luluv and all the preliminaries are doche Shabbos based on the pasuk beyom vafil b'Shabbos. The rabban who prohibit makshiri luluv on Shabbos learned from the pasuk beyom that the mitzvah of luluv is only done by day and not at night. Point number two: the Gemara asks why the arava ceremony performed in the base of Migdash is doche Shabbos on the seventh day of Sukkot. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kedei farsa mashehi min haTorah," in order to publicize the fact that it is a deraisa. When the Gemara asks why there's not a gezer prohibiting it, lest one carry it dalet amos in rishus rabim, like there is for a lulav, the Gemara answers, arava shulchei basin maisigal. In the case of the arava, the agents of basin bring the branches to the temple courtyard, which Rashi clarifies is done Erev Shabbos, and the mitzvah is then done only by the kohanim. Whereas luluv is given to everyone to do, and therefore there's a greater likelihood that one will inadvertently transgress. When the Gemara then suggests that the arava should be docha Shabbos on the first day of Yantiv, it answers lomucha milsa, that in that case, it would not be apparent that it's the arava ceremony that is docha Shabbos. People say it's a mitzvah of luluv that is docha Shabbos, and the arava obligation is merely accompanying it. And point number three, the Gemara brings a machlokas regarding how the arava ceremony is done. Rav Yosef holds that the whole ceremony is done by zakifa, by standing the aravas up around the Mizbeach. Abaya holds that the ceremony first entails Natila, taking the aravos in hand and circling the Mizbeach, which is then followed by standing the branches up around the Mizbeach. After Abaya's first two attempts in challenging Rav Yosef are unsuccessful, he brings a brisa that relates the following incident. One time, the seventh day of the Arava ceremony fell on Shabbos, and shoots were brought Erev Shabbos and placed in the Chatzer. The Baitosim, who denied Torah Shebaal Peh, came and hid them beneath rocks, knowing that the Rabbanim would not move rocks on Shabbos. The next day, some Amei Aretz realized what had been done, and not knowing of the Muktzah prohibition, they extracted them from beneath the rocks, and the Kohanim brought them and stood them up at the sides of the Mizbeach. Why did the Baitosim behave this way? Because they did not admit that waving the Arava is Docha Shabbos. So we see from here that the arava obligation is performed by taking the branches in hand and not simply standing them around the Mizbeach. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara brought a brisa that taught Bayom Vafil B'Shabbos. The words on that day of the phrase, on the first day, Bayom Rishon, teach that the mitzvah of luluv is performed even on Shabbos. The Gemara asks that since the only relevant prohibition is tiltul ba'alma, the mere handling of the luluv, which is a derabbanan muktzah prohibition, why would a pasuk be needed to permit it, since deraisa is permitted to handle the luluv? Rava answered that the pasuk is coming to permit the performance of makshiri luluv, the preliminaries of the mitzvah of luluv, some of which violate Shabbos midrashas, such as cutting the luluv from the tree or binding it with the other meaning. This is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, who holds luluv kol makshirav dochinas Shabbos. The mitzvah of luluv and all its preliminaries are docha Shabbos, based on the pasuk beyom vafil b'Shabbos. The Rabban who prohibit makshiri luluv on Shabbos learned from the pasuk beyom that the mitzvah of luluv is only done by day and not at night. Point number two, the Gemara asks why the arava ceremony performed in the base of Migdash is docha Shabbos on the seventh day of Sukkot, and Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kedei lefarsim mashehi min haTorah," in order to publicize the fact that it is a deraisa. When the Gemara asks why there's not a gezerah prohibiting it, lest one carry it dalet amos in rishus rabim, like there is for a luluv, the Gemara answers, "Arava shulchei basin maisila." In the case of arava, the agents of basin bring the branches to the temple courtyard, which Rashi clarifies is done Erev Shabbos, and the mitzvah is then done by only the Kohanim. Whereas luluv kol makshirav, luluv is given to everyone to do, and therefore there is a greater likelihood that one will inadvertently transgress. When the Gemara then suggests that the arava should be docha Shabbos on the first day of Yantiv, it answers lomucha milsa, that in that case, it would not be apparent that it's the arava ceremony that is docha Shabbos. People say it's the mitzvah of luluv that's docha Shabbos, and the arava obligation is merely accompanying it. And point number three, the Gemara brings machlokas regarding how the arava ceremony is done. Rabbi Yosef holds that the whole ceremony is done at Bezekifa by standing the aravas up around the Mizbeach. Abai holds that the ceremony first entails Natila, taking the aravas in hand and circling the Mizbeach, which is then followed by standing the branches up around the Mizbeach. After Abai's first two attempts in challenging Rabbi Yosef are unsuccessful, he brings a braisa that relates the following incident. One time, the seventh day of the Arava ceremony fell on Shabbos, and shoots were brought Erev Shabbos in place in the Chatzir. The Baitosim, who denied Torah Shebaal Peh, came and hid them beneath rocks, knowing that the Rabbanim would not move rocks on Shabbos. The next day, some Amei Arts realized what had been done, and not knowing of the Muktzah prohibition, they extracted them from beneath the rocks, and the Kohanim brought them and stood them up at the sides of the Mizbech. Why did the Baitosim behave this way? Because they did not admit that waving the Arava is Docher Shabbos. So we see from here that the Arava obligation is performed by taking the branches in hand and not simply standing them around the Mizbeach. All right, so now we go to our Simper Daf Mem Gimel, and our standard simon is a magazine. A magazine. So here goes. The Sukkos magazine, founded by a Yid cutting a lulav off the tree on Shabbos, featured a cover story on why Aravas are Docher Shabbos on the seventh day, with a picture of Kohanim taking the Aravas in hand and then placing them around the Mizbeach. Once again, it's slow motion. The Sukkos magazine, that must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The Sukkos magazine, found by a Yid cutting a lulav off the tree on Shabbos, which reminds us, Rabbi Yezer holds that lulav a kol makshir of Dochen and Shabbos, the mitzvah of lulav and all its preliminaries are Dochen Shabbos based on the pasuk b'yom b'afil b'Shabbos. Makshir lulav include activities such as cutting the lulav from a tree or binding it with the other meaning. The Rabbanim who prohibit makshir lulav on Shabbos learn from the pasuk b'yom that the mitzvah of lulav is only by day and not at night. So the Sukkos magazine, found by a Yid cutting a lulav off the tree on Shabbos, featured a cover story on why Aravos are Docher Shabbos on the seventh day, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said the reason that the Aravos ceremony is done on the seventh day is kedei lefarsam ha-shehim in the Torah, in order to publicize the fact that it's a deraisa. There's not a gezera prohibiting it, lest one carry a dalet amos into Rishus Rabbim, like there is for lulav, since shulchei basin bring the branches of the temple courtyard every Shabbos, and the mitzvah is then done by only the kohanim, whereas lulav is given to everyone to do, and therefore there's a greater likelihood that one will inadvertently transgress. So the Sukkos magazine, found by a Yid cutting a lulav off the tree on Shabbos, featured a cover story on why Aravos are Docher Shabbos on the seventh day, with a picture of Kohanim taking the Aravos in hand and then placing them around the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings some halachos regarding how the Aravos ceremony is done. Rav Yosef holds the whole ceremony is done b'zakifa, by standing the Aravos up around the Mizbeach. Abai holds that the ceremony first entails netila, taking the Aravos in hand and circling the Mizbeach, which is then followed by Zakifa, standing the branches up around the Mizbeach. Abai brings a proof that it was first done with Netila based on the incident with the Baitosim. So once again, the Sukkos magazine, found by a Yid cutting a lulav off a tree on Shabbos, featured a cover story on why Aravos are Docher Shabbos on the seventh day, with the picture of Kohanim taking the Aravos in hand and then placing them around the Mizbeach. All right, so now we go to our four blah blah Chazara. Daf Ramites, so the Simmer Daf Ramites is a letter, so here goes. When the letter, that must mean we're on Daf Ramites. When the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Halah arrived, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph stated, where the minhag with Halah is levarach, yavarach, to recite a bracha, one recites a bracha. Abai said, they taught that the manner of making a bracha is a minhag only with regard to the one recited after Halah. But with regard to the bracha recited before Halah, there's an actual chiyuv to recite the bracha. For Rabbi Yudah said, in the name of Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvahs kulan mevarach alehen over l'siyasan. Regarding all of the mitzvahs, one recites the bracha for them immediately before the performance. The Gemara asks, which pasuk indicates the word over has the meaning of before, and brings three sources. So when the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Halah arrived, along with the Shemitah lulav package that came with an esrog as a present, which reminds the next Mishnah states that if one purchases a lulav during Shemitah from an Amar Arz, he must give him the esrog as a gift because he's not permitted to purchase it from him during Shemitah. If the Amar Arz does not want to give him the esrog as a gift, Rav Huna said, Mavli le demei esrog b'lulav. He includes the cost of the esrog in the price of the lulav. Rashi explains that he should raise the price of the lulav to the point where he can give the esrog as a gift. So when the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Halah arrived, along with the Shemitah lulav package that came with an esrog as a present, the man made sure to pay the Amar Arz only enough to purchase three meals, which reminds us. The Gemara questions why the Mishnah forbids one to purchase an esrog outright and answers, Levisha ain't motion to make Paris Shvi's Lama Arz, because one's not permitted to give an Amar Arz money from the sale of Shemitah produce because he may use the money in a forbidden manner. Rashi explains that the Torah states that Shvi's produce is la'achla, v'lo l'schora, for you to eat and not to do commerce. This does not prohibit the produce from being sold. Rather, it teaches that the money, like the produce for which it was received, must be consumed, meaning spent on food or similar items during Shemitah. An Amar Arz is suspected of saving his money past this time. If one purchases produce from him, then he'll be leading to sin. For Rastan and Brisa, one is not permitted to give an Amar Arz money from the sale of Shemitah produce above the cost of purchasing three meals. Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. The lifeguard who used a lula broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck. Pool? That must be on Daf Mem. The lifeguard who used a lula broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck, which reminds us, the Gemara notes that the reason a lula may be purchased from an Amar's during Shemitah is because it's a product of the sixth year that entered the seventh, which implies, Had the Shviz, Kadosh, that a lula that is a product of the seventh year has Kedusha Shviz. Why should this be so? A lula is mere wood, not produce, and wood has no Kedusha Shviz. The Gemara answers that the Pasuk states the produce of the land during Shviz is Lechem Lachla, for you to eat. Lechem Dumya de Lachla. The larger uses permitted by lechem must be similar to those of the phrase l'achla. This teaches that the uses are permitted only misha hanaso ubiiro shava, those whose benefit coincides with consumption of the produce. This would exclude wood from kedusha shviz, whose benefit comes after its consumption, meaning when it's already reduced to coals. A lulav's typical use as a broom has its benefit and consumption, meaning it gets worn down, at the same time making it subject to kedusha shviz. So the lifeguard who used a lula broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck found monies with Kedusha Shviz, which reminds us we have a machlokes regarding Kedusha Shviz attaching onto money. Rabbi Elazar said, Ein Shviz mischalelus el aderech mekach. Shemitah produce cannot be mischalelus, meaning imparted Kedusha to money or produce exchanged for it, except by way of purchase. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ben derech mekach, ben derech chilul. It can be imparted both by way of purchase and by way of chilul. Rashi explains that one would say this produce should be mechulawin onto these monies. The Gemara brings the respective psukim that support each position. So the lifeguard who used a lula broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck found monies with Kedusha Shviz right next to a poor Shemitah violator who was trying to sell his metaltelin to some of the pool guests. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what then does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk Kisimchru Mimkar, when you shall make a sale, and answers that he needs it for the source of the teaching of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. For Rabbi Isa taught, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Bo ore kama kasha avakashal shviz. Come and see how harsh is the dust of the prohibition of shviz. For a man does business with the produce of the Shemitah year, hoping to profit thereby, in the end, poverty will force him to sell his metaltelin bekalim. Daf Memov. So the Simmer Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be one Daf Memov. The grandma who loved to seek out ways to do a zecher l'mikdash proudly benched lulav for 7 days straight. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Barishona yulav nito b'mikdash shiva. Originally in the days of the base of mikdash, lulav was taken in the temple all 7 days of Sukkot, and the provinces on only one day being the first day. When the base of mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that lulav be taken in the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, zecher l'mikdash, as a remembrance of the base of mikdash. The Gemara asked for the source that were been to make a zecher l'mikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan said that states in Yirmiyahu, Tzion hi dorish einla, saying, she is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words Dorish Einla, there is none who seek her, Makal the boy Drisha, it's implied that she requires seeking. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai determined that the way to fulfill this is through performing the mitzvah lulav the way it was done in the base of mikdash. So the grandma who left to seek out ways to do a zecher l'mikdash proudly benched lulav for 7 days straight and gave her special chadash bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th, which reminds us. The Mishnah say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai also instituted she yom hanef kula asur, that the entire day of waving, referring to the wave of the omer, should be forbidden for eating from chadash, the new crop of grain. Rashi explains that when the omer is brought, chadash is only permitted afterwards, but when there's no base in mikdash and omer offering, it's permitted immediately upon daybreak of the 16th. The Gemara teaches that we're not from Yochanan ben Zakkai's institution in the time when there will be a base in mikdash. People think that it's permitted at daybreak since the previous year it was permitted then. The Gemara seeks to clarify the day Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned that the temple would be rebuilt and concludes that the case is when the temple was rebuilt the night of the 16th or just before Shkia on the 15th, which might cause a delay for it to be brought on the 16th. Rashi clarifies that even though the temple is not permitted to be rebuilt at night or on Yantiv, the restrictions only apply to human construction. However, by Shlishi will miraculously descend intact from Shemaim, as it says in the Pasuk, Mikdash Hashem konnu yadecha, the Mikdash, my master, that your hand established. So the grandma who loved to seek out ways to do a zecher l'mikdash proudly benched lulav for 7 days straight and gave her special chadash bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th, on condition they return it. Which reminds us, a brice was brought that states that a prisoner cannot fulfill his chiyuv of lulav on the first day of Yantiv with his friend's lulav, elim kenasnu lulav matana, unless the latter gave it to him as a gift, and brings an incident where Ben Gamliel was traveling in a boat with other rabban, gave his lulav worth 1,000 zuz to the other rabban to use, each one gifting the lulav to the next one, And then Rabbi Akiva, who used the last, returned it. The Tanna is coming to teach that Matana Amanas Lachzir Shema Matana, a gift granted on condition that it be returned, is legally considered a gift. Rabbi taught that if one did not return the lulav afterwards, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Since he didn't fulfill the condition, it's clarified retroactively that the gift was void, and then he used a stolen lulav. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Beis. The mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Jerusalem Rabbim, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi said that if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos and one inadvertently carried his lulav into Jerusalem Rabbim, he's not chayv achatas because he carried it out with permission to do a mitzvah. Rashi explains that he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, thinking about it and rushing to do it. And Rabbi Yossi holds, a Torah b'dvar mitzvah is pater. Abai said the Mishnah refers only to where he's not yet fulfilled his chiyuv of lulav at the time he carries it out, but if he had, he would be chayv. Abai said this would be in a case where one inverted it, meaning he picked up the lulav upside down. Rava said you may even say where he did not invert it, rather it would be where he carried it out in a kli. And even though Rava is the one who holds l'kicha yidei davar achir shema l'kicha, that's only when it's derech kavod, not derech bezayon, in a disrespectful way. So the mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down. As he walked into Rishus HaRabim, got poked again by kids passing by, who were shaking their lulavim while singing towards Sivan Anamosha, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Katan Hiyodei L'Naneya Chayv B'Lulav. A child who knows how to weigh the lulav is chayv in the mitzvah. In addition, the Braisa taught that if the child knows how to wrap himself, he's chayv in tzitzis. If he knows how to guard the Kedusha of tefillin properly, his father buys tefillin for him. And if he knows how to talk, his father teaches him Torah and Kriya Shema. The Gemara asks, what is meant here by Torah? And Reb Hamnuna said, it means that father teaches the child the pasuk of Torah Tzivon Amosha, Marasha Kios Yaakov. And Kriyashma here means pasuk Rishon, the first pasuk. So the mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down. As he walked into Shusha Rabim, got poked again by kids passing by, who were shaking their lulavim while singing Torah Tzivon Amosha, as they headed Dalet Amos towards the neighborhood Baki to learn the halachos. Which reminds that we learn the chiyuv of lulav is not docha Shabbos, it falls on the final 6 days of Sukkot. Then when asked why it should be forbidden to take a lulav in the base of Mikdash, it's still to ba'amahu v'litchi Shabbos. The only concern is handling the lulav, which is a muktzah prohibition, and since it doesn't involve a deraisa, let this mitzvah be docha Shabbos. Rabbi answered, gezer shem yitlana biyado v'yelech eitzo baki lumo. The Rabbanu were gozer against taking a lulav on Shabbos, lest one take it in his hand and go to an expert to learn the halachos v'yaviranu arba amos b'shus of Rabbim, and invernally he'll carry it dalet amos in b'shus of Rabbim. And the Gemara adds that this is the same reason against blowing the shofar on a Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, and for the decree against reading the Megillah on a Purim that falls on Shabbos. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichron, wishing a great day and great learning.